I put that in just in case life brought us there.
Oh my god.
I want to be open to all things. You put the flow
here.
See,
look at the label and you want
to
be like
Don't
that.
Yeah, you just don't drink. Say no. Just don't say no to the opportunity.
Don't say no to
You don't have to say yes, but don't say no.
We don't even have to taste it. I think it's just important to have it there.
Just in spirit.
He's
with us.
He's gonna fucking love that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's like the Andy Warhol effect though, where it's like
yeah.
I could do that.
The worst is
like,
yeah.
Yeah, then go fucking paint a Campbell soup can and see what happens.
Yeah, bish.
It's not gonna happen.
When do we do the Underberg? Is it at the end?
It's kind of in the middle. But would you like one now? Just to
can we do a bookend? A bookend berg?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
One on the beginning Bookbergs. And one in the end.
Of course we can.
Bookbergs. Yeah.
Bookbergs. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
can we
a
do
thing
that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. That's the thing now. Man, we're gonna roll. All right.
So are
cheers.
We? Actually, cheers. So are we doing this as part of the show or?
No.
Well, we are now.
Are you recording
yeah.
or not?
We're going.
Oh, okay. There
yeah.
You go.
Whatever. We'll cheers. Put this at the beginning. Cheers, son.
Okay.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Kentucky Commons Radio Hour. I am Michael Moeller, joined here today by John Renane, David Satterley.
I just did an Underberg.
We just did Underberg, it's great. We are recording at Brewgrass Homebrew Supply in Louisville, Kentucky. As always, if you are listening to this on podcasts, that's great, thank you so much. But you can also now watch us on YouTube. youtube.com/@Louisville Ale Trail randomly. We're joined tonight by special guest one Jackie Zeichen, master blender and owner and HBIC over at Hidden Barn. Hidden Barn Distillery launched in July of 22.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited. And thank you for being open to the suggestion of we should bookend this whole night with double down Underbergs.
Yeah, bookbergs.
Yeah. Bookbergs. You know, we normally do a berg break and that's fine. But you can also bookend the bergs too if you want. Because it's Underberg. They just want you to enjoy the product. However you can enjoy the product the most. And you get double the caps that way, guys. It's a great economy.
Same. I'm saving up for like the little toy truck.
Yeah,
my cat.
That's
like the sweetest thing I've ever.
This is like the first one.
It's adorable.
Yeah,
that's great.
Anyway,
how many caps is it?
14,000.
280.
Yeah.
I think it's 280. I think it's 280. I don't know. Maybe 480.
Keep going. I'm going to verify this while we're talking because I need to know because I might steal the caps.
Oh, yeah.
The table
I think
for
it's 480. I got you. So we're going to get to everything, Jackie, that you've been up to and what you're currently doing and how you got all here. But we like to open up the show not just with a berg like we just did, but also with a beer, a berg and a beer. So, David, tell us about the top of the show beer that we brought today.
Today we have a collaboration that we did with Malwide Brewing, Malwide Beer Co., located on Barrett Avenue. This was part of our Legend series that we did. Really unique in this fact that we blended a barrel-aged beer with a non-barrel-aged beer. So this Catacombs was a collab with our homies, but it is a blend of Imperial Stout with Maple Smoked Imperial Stout. And then conditioned on cocoa nibs. So this is a little bit old. It's maybe almost 2 years now. I think we did in May of 21. So I have no idea what this is going to taste like, but I would assume it's fine.
I thought it was apropos for having Jackie on and trying this beer since we are, you know, blending barrels and talking about all of that. So why not? You know, you should drink the stuff that you have in your house.
Yeah.
And so this was in my house. I've been sitting on it for 2 years. So might as well drink it and enjoy it.
I just want to update everybody that it is 25,000.
Is it really?
No, that's for the large truck though. They're two trucks.
No, small truck. Not like the smaller truck. Wait,
that's a life size truck.
Hold on, let me explore.
That's a life size truck.
Yeah, I thought there was an umbrella delivery vehicle.
You can drive that one.
I want the horse.
I really want the thermometer. That guy right there. Yes. The hot air balloon thermometer.
Oh my gosh.
Underberg has the best swag.
Some of these are very achievable, actually.
Absolutely.
Especially if you book Underbergs.
This is a super cool label designed by Brandon Bass. Catacombs is like spelled out across three different pillars and there's some skulls and stuff. This was a fun beer to do with them when we approached them about the concept. It was a little bit in that weird time of like coming out of COVID and, you know, what can we do? And we're like, let's jazz it up. Let's do some barrel. You know, that's what makes sense. So we've continued to do these collabs with breweries around town. This one was one of the more exciting ones, in my opinion.
Yeah. I remember really loving it at the time. Catacombs is also a tip of the hat to the catacombs that exist in Louisville, at the old Ursuline Academy and Shelby Street, kind of, David, not too far away from where you live. Yeah, there, really? There are catacombs in Louisville.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Not lined with skulls like the ones in Paris are, but no.
That's not cool.
Not as cool.
All right.
Not as cool.
Cheers, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Big and boozy aroma. It's still got that kind of like cocoa, Tootsie Roll, dark chocolate thing going on.
That's sweet.
It is sweet.
It's kind of sweet. The smoke character is still there a little bit, even though it was kind of faded at the time. But I get more maple now than I ever did before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not mad at that. It is. Do you remember what barrels we put in this, or do we can't recall at this point?
I believe Old Forester was.
I was going to say
one.
I think it was.
Which is, again, appropriate. So, Jackie, thanks for coming.
Yeah, but I mean, the Old Forester barrels that went into that were barrels from the 117 series.
Oh,
specifically. Wow. Oh, well, now we know.
Now
special.
Yeah, the secret's special. Out. Jeez.
You know what? For a beer that's how many years old at this point?
Almost two.
That's holding up just fine.
Absolutely. I kind of wish I had still had more.
Still a decent amount of carb on it, too, which is something I can always appreciate. Barrel-aged beers, you transfer them out, they come back in, you've got a lot of loss. And like carbing it makes a lot of difference in brightening up that barrel spirit that comes along. So I'm happy this held up.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Jackie, you are currently the master blender and co-owner at Hidden Barn. Launched with the Neely Family Distillery and 5280 in Colorado, the Whiskey Society there.
Yes.
I want to learn more about that, but tell us a little bit about, you know, where you came from previously and how you got into the beverage space.
So July was when we launched Hidden Barn. And then for 7 years prior to that, I did work for Brown-Forman, for Old Forester specifically, as the master taster, which is kind of an interesting role. You're sort of this like... you're on a quality panel, but you're also in new product development, but you're also like the PR pony, but like you're a little bit of everything. Like your face is on the brand. I don't know.
And in the Louisville Airport.
And in the Louisville Airport, sure.
I knew I'd seen you somewhere before. Hey.
Until it's not there. I don't know. I've heard rumors that they're going to take it down, but whatever, man. That's life. I was there for 7 years. But before that, I was a beverage director for a multi-concept group that was based here in Louisville, that have since sold all of their restaurants to other groups, which is exciting and also sad, right? Like you love to see growth, but you also are like, oh man. And so I oversaw all their bar programs in Kentucky and Tennessee. And then before that, I was in St. Louis and in school for chemistry and biology.
Nice.
And I kind of am a person. I call it masochism, but I don't see it that way necessarily. But that's how most people understand it. Mm-hmm. Of like, oh, you must really like to be, you must like to suffer a lot. Maybe. I don't know. I think if you like what you're doing and you work and you're just like wired to work the way I am, you don't even notice it half the time. So it's not like you're burnt out. You're just sort of doing what you're here to do. So I was working about 92 hours a week for that Fall City Hospitality group, but then also picking up side gigs for Jack Daniels or Woodford or Copper and Kings Brandy or Four Roses. I did a lot of work with them and then just grew a name as someone in the industry that would show up on time. And, you know,
funny how far that will take you.
Yeah. I know, right? Who knew? Yeah. Like that was such an impressive thing, like punctuality coming on. But I don't know. I started with Brown-Forman and it was an amazing experience. I learned so much that I wouldn't have ever been able to be witness to. So I'm very grateful for that. But there comes a point where you go, okay, here's where I want to go. Is that path available here? Maybe not. Then I guess we gotta, this is scary as I don't, am I allowed to cuss on
yeah,
this?
Please. Sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
shit.
Only if you talk into the mic.
Oh, Michael, he's getting mad because I'm not close enough to the microphone, but I will be now.
There you go.
Whisper just to balance it out.
Did you get a little fucking
closer? Nonetheless. I don't know. I learned a lot. I still have things to learn every day. We learn stuff. I mean, you learn shit every single day. Like
100%.
Coming in here, you get all kinds of new stuff coming in here. You learn
what not to do. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's just part of the adventure. But nonetheless, I never saw myself as necessarily falling in suit with the master distiller role, because I'm a firm believer that that title deserves someone who actually distills and has been distilling for a very long time. If you can't, you know, be plucked up by your shirt collar and plopped into an empty shell of a distillery and know exactly what you need to make it run, can you call yourself a master distiller? And I mean, from every step of the process, that's what that is.
I will say, based on the TV show Master Distillers, that might not necessarily be true based on some of those people.
Dude,
but
it's not in the industry. Yeah. It's been a role that's been really used as a marketing ploy, yeah, if I you agree. Will, and like right. a PR play, mm-hmm. Which is fine. Like, everybody's entitled to do their own thing. For me personally, didn't feel good about it. I felt like a used car salesman, yeah. kind of like going down that path, and was like, you know what? I like to play with it post-maturation. Those are the paint colors I like to mix together. That's my specialty. That's my sweet spot. My strong, like really, really strong sense is my palette. The rest of it, I understand, you know, distillation is a lab practice. It's yeah. like a bench work, you know, but not to like downgrade it. But outside of that, though, the nuance that comes in, I work better post maturation. And so there really wasn't an avenue to go into blending as a specialty with New World whiskey. We'll call it that. New World whiskey versus Old World whiskey, I guess. We'll make that discern. Because people think with American whiskey, oh, blended, they think blended whiskey. They think Seagram 7. They think like something mm-hmm. that's been sort of like bastardized in a certain way, or the neutral grain spirit plus whatever. That's not what I do. I curate batches. So am I like a master batcher? That sounds weird.
Brand new sentence.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to get real weird tonight, everybody.
Master batcher.
But that's okay. I don't know. I curate blends of whiskey. And so Hidden Barn obviously was a really great opportunity to do that. I also do independent consulting. So there's about 5 other brands out there in the market that I had my fingers in the pot with, but I never said anything about because.
NDAs or?
No, because sometimes you just focus, go, okay, well, you know, I really need to retire off of Hidden Barn money. So I'm going to focus on Hidden Barn with my face. So yeah. then you just do that. I don't know. Whatever.
Makes
if
sense
they turn
me.
Out really good and everybody loves them, then I'll put my name on them. How about yeah, there you go.
It's like covering your bases or like whatever. Yeah, I understand.
So, but it's not like you just, you know, you were working with the hospitality group and then you were just like, I've got a palette and I'm going to start blending things. Mm-hmm. Or is that how that happened? Like how did you land a job that kind of put you into a circumstance and situation where you had to start blending things and figuring things out like that?
I think that it would, well, I got to be really careful because there's certain mysteries that we don't want to solve with the industry, right? Mm-hmm. But I will say there are a lot of large-scale brands out there, and I'm not saying this about BF, I'm saying this about a lot of others, wherein they go, okay, well, it needs to taste kind of like this, so just like take 3,000 barrels and shove them sure. together and call it that. Okay, no one will notice. All right, cool. The bigger the batch, the more you can hide certain things in it. We all know this.
That works the same way in beer too.
Exactly. Yeah, for the exactly. record. Exactly. And there's no like right or wrong about it. I mean, wine if consistency do it, like, is your goal, yeah. then big batches are your friend. And that's just the way that it goes. And so I don't know. I just kind of, I realized I had a sensitive palate, right? That was part of it, that I had like sailed through a blind vodka tasting with Tony Ebugano many years ago. And then was like, oh shit, there might be something here. Like, maybe this is why I've always been a picky eater and I order off the kids' menu. I don't know. Like, what the hell? But I don't know. There came a point where there were different projects with Old Forester that came along. And the first one in particular was the 150th anniversary of sort of like, here's the barrels we set aside before you even step foot on the property. What are we going to do with them, everybody? And it was like, if you trust me, please, fingers mm-hmm. crossed, if you trust me, let me take samples. Comp samples. So when I say sample, I mean liquid from a barrel. When I say a comp sample, I mean liquid representative of the fill of that barrel that's you're dealing with. Because you can't just take 10 barrels and blend, you know, equal parts of all 10 together. You have to actually know how much is left in each barrel, or else it's not going to give you an accurate portrayal. And so by taking comp samples and laser scanning the barrel heads and knowing how much was in each barrel, I literally in my kitchen at home, in a Home Depot bucket, constructed all 3 of the blends for the 150th anniversary project.
That's
which I
awesome.
Laughed. No, I laughed the whole time. I was like, people are going to be trading this shit on the internet. And I'm over here with a Home Depot bucket, just like, that tastes good. Like, whatever.
I was part of that campaign on the agency side for Brown-Forman. And that's hilarious.
I mean, but that's
I wish
how,
I would have known
like,
that.
Well, now you do. Now you do. I mean, what went into the bottle? Let's be clear for anybody that's like, wait a minute, what? Like, I'm drinking Home Depot orange bucket whiskey. Like, no, you're not. I swear.
It's like, is this homebrew? What's going on?
Honestly, it's so good for Home Depot.
Figure out. I know, right? You're welcome. It was just to figure out the blends of what barrels need to go with who and what. And what I found in my practice is that anything more than 75 barrels in a batch, you've lost the unique contribution of each barrel. 75 is my magic little like kickoff number. And with Hidden Barn, I keep it under 22 barrels per batch. So every single barrel shows up and is unique and expressive.
It seems like if you add too much, it just becomes beige.
It washes out. Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely does.
Yeah.
For sure.
Is there, and this may be proprietary, but is there a scaling that you use and different like facets of the liquid that you kind of score and then understand how to blend them back?
I do really, really quick Jackie notes. Like, it's very weird. I know it's...
This is why you're a master batcher.
Because people, okay, you look at somebody and you go, okay, well, you do that for a living. Great. You think that I sit down and like really like wax poetic about the notes of every single barrel in detail. No. Fuck no. Like, I don't have time for that. I'm sorry. I know I probably shouldn't say the F word. I've been told I can cuss, but like F is different territory.
That's
no,
not.
I'm waiting. I'm like looking for like feedback.
Keep going.
We're good.
I'll put a warning for children at the beginning.
Fuck
of
it.
The
episode. Keep
That's
going.
Fine. Yeah. Children. Children should not be listening to this.
Exactly. You're
children
fine.
Don't know what whiskey fine. Is. Okay.
Okay. So you think that like people in this industry, like they sit there and like wax on it. You don't, you do so many barrels and so many like liquid samples at a time that you have to come up with a more like just a more concise system of like, well, it's this amount of finish, it's this amount of heat, it's this amount of that. If there's something weird that sticks out to you, you definitely take note like, oh shit, okay, got Big League Chew grape bubblegum that coming through on this one. Fuck yeah, like great. Other than that, it's like mod spice, mod dry, mod blah, blah, blah. And you sort of like have to code them that way and like piece them together that way because no one has the time. Your palate will fry before then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It seems like writing stuff down like too just helps you remember it. Like even if you never even go back and refer to those notes, having written the thing down, like at least for me, gives you like a visual connection in your head. So kind of downloads a little bit of that stuff onto something that if you want to go back and look at it, you can. But it's cool to have it written down instead of just kind of like.
In every meeting, John writes everything that we say down, even though I'm taking notes on my laptop.
Yeah. Tactile.
You've written more than he has on this meet. I'm just saying, well, in this podcast.
Well, he doesn't need to remember this because he's recording it.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Hidden Barn, though.
So Hidden Barn is this little group of four people, myself being one. Royce Neely from the Neely Distillery in Sparta, Kentucky is another. And then we've got Matt Dankner and Nate Weiniger, who are out in Denver, Colorado. They are part of the 5280 Whiskey Society. They kind of started that whole thing. They're obviously whiskey enthusiasts and have been doing barrel selections. Like they've been on that side of the business for a while. Royce is out there making whiskey for the first time his family's done it legally. It's been 11 generations and he's the first one to do it. Yeah.
11 generations?
That's awesome.
11 generations.
God,
and then this
when
last
did you get this
one.
Ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The proof point is
does
eight-ish.
He smoke a pipe? Like fedora?
Does he hold one and pretend to smoke a pipe?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because I feel like that's it doesn't matter. Anyway,
might be a prop pipe.
You never know. So anyways, every single one of us came together over a pour of whiskey and just had a moment. I remember Nate was the first one I met out in Breckenridge in Colorado. And he showed up to this like whiskey event with a bottle of Birthday, like unopened. And I was like, hold, okay, let me find my Sharpie.
Was it
like,
was it
he just
Donatello
wants me to sign
or?
It. So he, it might have been like this guy, homie over here with his Sharpie and his Birthday bourbon. Like they all want it signed so they can sell it on Craigslist or something. Mm. I don't know. But he was like, no, he's like, can we find a spot to sit down? I really want to open this bottle and pour some for you because I want to hear feedback from you and how you put it together.
That's cool.
While I drink it with you. And I was like, whoa, this is weird. Like, okay, a human, finally. Like, here we go.
I found one.
Yeah, there's one. There is one. So that's how we met. But they have all these other similar stories. And so it's just a small group of people that got together. Everybody quit their corporate job, minus, you know, Royce, who's just like, you know, been making whiskey this whole time. Just to sort of like piece together different brands and kind of highlight. It's kind of a weird landscape of whiskey right now, if I will. you've got a lot of craft producers that maybe sourced for the first 4, 5, 6 years until their stuff was mature enough to bottle to the flavor profile they felt comfortable with. And so they've established a brand and a flavor on sourced juice, and people they've put in all this work and everybody loves them. And then all of a sudden it's like, but here's our stuff. And they're like, huh? Wait a minute. What? It's like they have to relaunch. They have to like start all over again of introducing themselves into the market. Beer is very different, not with some of the stuff that's like, you know, the long view beer, things that are finished and barrel age and all that kind of crap. But with whiskey, you only have like, it's either you're either 4 years old or you're not. Like that's sure. The end all be all of it. Right. And so you get these craft producers that maybe have been making stuff super high quality, but because it's different than what they established their brand as tasting life, they're kind of in this uphill battle. And so Hidden Barn kind of comes in at that point and is like, no, this shit's good. You guys are doing it right. You're good people. Like, let's do this together. Like, come with us so we can tell people, like, this is why we're 100% transparent. This is why we want everyone to know that's from MB Roland. That's from Neely. XYZ's from whoever that I'm not going to give you any hints into what's coming up next. But I mean, these are people that deserve some credibility and they deserve some attention because they need that. Like, we should be here to support each other in this industry. And it's a tough spot for a brand that's invested in a brand that's now a ghost brand, if you will, because sure. Now they've had to start over with a flavor profile. So
that's been one of the things. I'm not a huge like bourbon geek or anything. I like bourbon, whatever, but it's been so beer kind of has a similar story in that it was really kind of just like 3 or 4 monoliths in America, you know, like the big beer people or whatever, who would make all the stuff that went everywhere. And it was kind of hard for in the kind of craft or in the, you know, niche beer revolution that started 20, 30 years ago and has kind of grown exponentially for the little guys to get market shared, figure out what their brands are about. It seems like bourbon is kind of the same way, even though people have been making it in their holler stills, you know, for generations.
I love that you use the word holler.
My family is a holler. Holler.
I use the word holler too.
Yeah, Harlan folk. Family, Kentucky. I know about hollers. But anyway, so those people who have been kind of doing it on a craft, like individual level, then kind of bring it into the corporate world where there are these huge established brands that everybody knows about. It seems kind of like that's what your focus is partially on, is finding those kind of little hidden gems, bringing them forward, helping them express themselves. I don't know. How does that fit to you?
Yeah. Like, what's the filter, right? Like, what's worth working with and not, right? And it comes down to people that are doing things from a quality mindset. People are doing things from a mindset of preserving the integrity of the category, not trying to find weird little cheap ways to like beat the system flavor wise. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with innovation. I mean, you can use chips and staves and spirals and all kinds of weird shit, but I am a firm believer in like, just, it has to take time. Mm-hmm. It just does. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people think of maturation in terms of like, oh, well, how much oak are you getting into the liquid? And that's an extraction method and that's great, but you're not thinking about oxidation, which is really a really, really key part of the flavor development. So, and that just takes time, that takes air. But so I see what you're saying as far as like there's these big drivers of like the category and this is what whiskey tastes
like in general.
Yeah. But for each little individual craft producer, like they're trying to get up and going from day one, whether it's sourced or they blended it or whatever. They bought some random like 300 barrels from MGP. I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. But bottom line is, to establish a consumer for your brand, you have to be at least somewhat have a common denominator flavor profile for what your brand is. And so that doesn't happen until it's actually your liquid that's hitting the bottle on the shelf for them. That doesn't happen with sourced stuff whatsoever. I don't know. Have I gone on a tangent?
No, that totally makes sense. That's
it. Wheels turning over here. So like,
I mean, my question was basically if you are sourcing, which is, like you said, a valuable method to get your brand out there, start it out. When it comes time to like do it for yourself.
Okay.
Can you?
What do you mean do it for myself?
No, not you personally.
Okay.
But when a distillery is like, hey, we've sourced this, we've purchased, you know, 4 or 5 year, we're going to get it to market as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And now they've started to mature their own barrels. Do they, I guess from a beer perspective, it's more like, I'm a home brewer. I can make production style beer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm a distiller, I'm sourcing this. Can I make the same quality juice to get out? I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, could that, is that a
I think trope? That's the answer right there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a trope because
every time you have to try to scale, you have to completely relearn your parallels. System and everything. Yeah. Like, there's not you can't just kind of click multiply by 10 and immediately make 10 times as much product.
Yeah, I could go buy barrels from NGV and figure it out, you know. But if I wanted to make it truly my own and unique, then I would have to recreate many parts of that.
There's a lot of variables for sure. Absolutely. I think one of the surprising things about, so there's a lot of sourced brands on the market, right? There's a lot of people with like a label, but they didn't make it, but who cares? That's what we do. Like, whatever. I'll tell you where it's from, but like, I did not make that stuff. Someone made it many years ago. But I think it's interesting because I have been very, very, very adamant about, I will not buy a single barrel of whiskey unless I have actually tasted it and said, this is clear of defects. This is the flavor profile I need, blah, 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 et cetera. You would be amazed how many sourced brands are out there on the market that are like, oh, we can get 300 barrels. Is it at least 4 years old? Done. Cool. So dump it together. They don't even know. And so there's a lot of these large scale producing distilleries that have either contract distillation or barrels to sell that are just like, you know, you can hide some shit in some of these big batches. I'm not going to lie. Stuff that I don't want to drink. I'm just saying. I'm picky. I've made it a very big headache and a nightmare for a lot of people, but that's because I'm not going to put my name on something that I don't fully stand behind. You should taste it before you buy it, before you decide to sell it to someone else and say, this is good, right? Seems simple, but 'tis not the case in a world of this industry where you're bashing together so many barrels at once. It's kind of like a, well, this is take it or leave it, because someone else is going to come along and buy it because somebody wants it. That's a scary world for us to be in with whiskey, but I don't know. Some of us have to not be afraid to be the asshole that's like, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to need a sample from every single barrel. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we have a good marketing team, and you go have integrity. So there's a difference.
When you try something
that's
new.
That's sweet. Integrity.
You decide like if you want to take it or leave it.
I could say integrity if you want.
Integrity. 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 Call integrity. That's what we're going to call it.
What gets you excited about something new that you're trying for the first time? Is there like things that you're looking for, or do you just kind of prefer to go in blind and just, I don't know, what pings in your brain when you're like, okay, I want to learn more about this brand, or I want to, you know, make some Jackie notes on what these people are doing. I want to pour it in a Home Depot bucket and play around with it. Are there like, I don't know. That's what I do when I go home.
You're never going to let that one down.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The orange bucket.
Yeah. That's terroir. Yeah. I don't know. Are there things
Home Depot terroir?
Yeah. This is the 2021 Home Depot bucket. Oh, I can taste the BPTs or whatever.
To rephrase the question. No, it's great. So what you hope to have, because the most lucrative your whiskey is ever going to be is the whiskey you buy right off the still and then sit on,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
It's going to get more and more expensive the more mature the barrels are. As a business from that side of it, you want to buy it as new make and blah, 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 et cetera. And so these relationships with these producers are incredibly important. So it's a really big defining factor in getting to know the people, getting to trust them and know that they're not going to try to like pass one over on you or like hide shit in your blends and all that stuff.
There's a lot of fly-by-night people, it seems like, too. In the beer world and I mean, in every industry, but you know, I'm sure there's some of that in bourbon, too.
Absolutely. And so the most important part is quality analysis and finding the defects or lack thereof defects in it. And then kind of you have to have that trust relationship established so that, like, I want to be able to text the distillery that I'm sourcing barrels from and be like, hey, I can come up next week, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to bring a drill. Are you cool with this? Like, I need them to trust what they've made is quality enough to let me go free for all on it and not find anything wrong with it. And if I do, I'm open to being like, okay, well, this note is coming through. Have you looked into where did the grain come from? What was your water filter? What was this? What was that? What was that? And so, I don't know, it's just a big relationship-based industry for so many reasons, but I don't know, like...
No, that's actually super interesting because, you know, you could taste, I mean, you taste things all day long, and but it sounds like the relationship is an equal part of the...
Absolutely.
Yeah, being able to kind of know where it's coming from and kind of get in the head of the people who are doing it kind of helps you understand the product a little bit better.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, there's no substitution for the human experience of palate to liquid. And you, I mean, even from the beer side, you guys know this, like you can run it through gas chromatography and be like, oh, there's a PPM, like, shut up. Like, no, you need a palate. Like, you have to taste it.
The texture, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, guys.
See? Indeed. But it depends on the project. Like with Hidden Barn, it's sort of like, well, here's what's mature. Here's what we've got. So let's see who gets along and has the best party together. With other like sort of more independent consulting gigs that I've had for other brands, it's much more flavor profile directed, where it's like, oh, I want to release a brand that tastes like honey. Honey is the primary. Okay, cool. Let's go to a bunch of distilleries and find who's making liquid that gives that honey note. Great. And then we'll piece that together and make sure it's balanced and quality and blah, 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 et cetera. With Hidden Barn, it's kind of like, I don't know, every batch is a free for all, which is fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of unbridled that way, but it just kind of depends on the project.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of things John doesn't know anything about, I do want to talk about cold IPAs for a moment.
I thought you were going to go to the Teletubbies segment.
You know plenty about Teletubbies.
Yeah, that's true.
On front.
By the way, there is no such thing as cold IPAs.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm not a beer person. Can you please give me a little background on the whole cold IPA situation?
We can. You go ahead. Yes. You pour this out and I'll talk a little bit on cold IPA. So IPA, typically characterized by like a heavy bitterness.
Think like Bell's Too Hearted or like Sierra Nevada Torpedo. Or
yep.
Yeah. So a cold IPA has been a trend for, I guess, about the last year. What it does is it introduces corn and rice is like an adjunct to keep the body light.
Kind of like a lager.
Hold on, John.
Oh, sorry.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
However, ideally like a lager, you ferment it at lower temperature using a lager yeast.
Oh.
So it retains.
So it's not an ale.
No.
John. Sorry.
No. It's an IPA. It's a cold IPA.
But it's like an IPA style lager? It's an IPL?
Oh no.
Are we on the same team right now? Like of common sense? I love this so much. No, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You're adorable.
I meant to interrupt.
Please.
No,
you started it.
John would preclude that that's all this is. But what we are drinking right now is the Bobsled from Atrium Brewing. It's a cold IPA. It's dry hopped with Sultana, Simcoe, Citra, and Mosaic. I'm sure I'll get yelled at because it's a dry hopped, but it is a cold IPA. It does preserve a lot of bitterness aspects, but it's super clear. It does have the body of like a lager, and 7.1% comes through, you know, a little bit smoother than a bitter IPA at 7%.
Yeah, 100%.
I think this has a niche, but I think John really, really hates the style. So
No. So I would just basically say the same thing about like black IPA. It's Cascadian Dark Ale. Like, let's just kind of like, in addition to all the ingredients that are in here, there's also a heavy dose of marketing because everybody wants something new. Everybody wants something sexy. And I just sipped it, by the way, guys. At the end of the day, it's fucking good. Like, and shout out to Spencer for using Sultana hops. Not enough people use those. Those were the Denali for a long time. And then they rebranded it when it got trademarked to Sultana. Big pineapple juice aromas. The other ones that they blend it with kind of balance it out with like a kind of grapefruit rind. A little bit of pine in there too, I would say. But the body is crisp and dry. You would never guess this is 7.1% ABV. No. Knocked it out of the park. It's a freaking great beer. And everybody should go to Atrium or anywhere that has a good cold IPA on tap. Try it. And then talk to the bartender for 30 minutes about how it's actually just a hoppy lager.
That's what they want. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they make the beer.
Yeah.
They know. They definitely have all the details.
This is one of my favorite beers that Spencer's actually ever done, period. But certainly good at Atrium. I remember him tasting me on this and I wanted more. And I don't actually say that about beer too often anymore. And so I was like, this is fucking good. So I love the name, love the label on that.
100%.
A little bobsled guy, cold IPA. I think cold IPAs are a couple of years ago, we were trying to do the whole champagne yeast IPA.
Brewed IPAs.
Brewed IPAs. Yeah. And I feel like brewed IPA was just a little bit too early, ahead of its time. And it was trying to do what cold IPAs are doing right now. These are light, like crisp, just, you know.
Brewed IPA is high life.
The champagne of beer.
It's champagne of beer.
Yeah, literally.
I do like
so this. I've got nothing against the stuff in the can. I just like to be the old guy sitting on the porch yelling at the kids on Instagram, rebrand, put hashtag cold IPA.
It's an IPA.
Hashtag cold IPA life. Yeah, it's Victory Prima Pills with modern American hops.
Why aren't and it's you delicious. Starting the IPL movement?
That exists.
You know, honestly,
does it?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Change.org, my GoFundMe. Like, let's, you know, come on, guys.
Make cold IPAs IPL again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But again, it's delicious. I love it. I just also like to pick on Spencer, but I hope he knows that I love him and yeah. think they make great beer.
Jack, have you been to Atrium?
I have, yeah, once.
There you
go. It was nice.
It was nice.
I would go back. I don't know. I had like a really shitty Bumble date like at Atrium. Ooh, nice. That is not Let's what we're going to get that. Into. Nope. So back to the whiskey. I don't know.
Online dating is ruining our society,
guys.
It's
so bad. It's just but you know, everything. Like I've gone like in and out of like the scene of Louisville specific online sure. dating, and it's the same people that are still there every time you get back on and you're like, oh, you're still,
yeah.
but I'm still here. Oh, okay.
Have you run across anybody that?
I'm so sorry. I disappointed you.
Yeah.
Are you on there?
No.
Wait, did I skip you?
They all have their own little shtick too. I don't know what Bumble's doing, but it's like they all have their own little like shtick.
I use Bumble and I did Hinge for a while, but I won't Hinge anymore after the
I stick to like
I feel like I should not be saying like details about this.
When you go on these dates, do you wear your perfume?
I wear my perfume every day anyways. So there's that. But
so yeah, so let's talk about this. Yes.
I mean, I want to like give you like creds for the transition there, but like it was so forced, like so I can't. So what'd you say?
Well, usually we just go. I go, hey guys, should we do that segue now? So we're at least moving on from that.
All right, so well, I do want to before we move on to that forced topic, I do want to just quickly talk about
Christian Mingle,
Christian Mingle Farmers Only. Master Batchers yeah. only. I mean,
hey, there you go.
That's gonna be a small pool. You're gonna see the same people over and over.
No,
again.
I know. I already do. Trust me.
Just real fast, tell us about what Hidden Barn is and what that branding means to you and to the organization.
So, it's not. I don't know. Maybe it's news to some people, but it's not to me as a person who's been in the whiskey industry for a minute here in Kentucky. It's a little bit different than other alcohol categories and industries in that it's very collaborative. It's very supportive. There's a really great community behind it. Yeah. Do people compete for sale? Sure. Whatever. That's going to happen. But for the most part, when shit hits the fan, like everyone is on the same page. We're all one big happy family. And so the whole idea of Hidden Barn, basically this concept, if you've ever been in Kentucky, you've driven around, you've seen black barns sprinkled out and about here and there. Most of them are tobacco barns because obviously the black barn is going to trap heat and you're going to be able to oxidize your tobacco leaves very well in there. But see, back in the day when you weren't supposed to be distilling whiskey, if you did distill whiskey in your barn, you would know about it because the Bedonia blacked, I'm not going to say black mold because it's not black mold.
It's very hot
it's
right now.
I know, hot topic. Nonetheless, the naturally occurring microflora that presents itself on the outside of the barn, you're welcome. The best way to cover that up is to paint your barn black so you wouldn't be able to tell. But then everyone knows that you're making whiskey in your barn because it's a black barn. Duh, right?
Which is like, why when you go to a certain distillery in Loretta, it is a lot of black paint around there.
Just saying. So the whole community would paint all of their barns black to cover up the source to support so they would always have a source of whiskey.
I am Spartacus.
Yeah, there you go. So the whole Hidden Barn concept came because basically black barn trademark was taken and we couldn't use it. And so we had to use something. And so here we are. I don't know. That's sexy to say it that way. But no. Like, this is the business. Like, it is what it is. But nonetheless, we're just here for the good of the people and the good of the distilleries and to all work together and hopefully set the standard of this is what needs attention. Quality focus, good minded folks that aren't trying to fuck people over all the time, whatever. People just like to make good stuff. What's wrong with that?
So nothing. So we would say that you're very successful in what you do in the whiskey world. Sensory evaluation is your thing. Like, you are very good at that. You have one of the world's best palates. And
that's a very large, sir.
We'll say that. Why not? We'll say that. But
you say whatever you want.
I will. Yeah, but and most people would be like,
speaking of.
I knew it was going to get opened. You guys said it wasn't, but I
knew it wasn't going to get
opened. All right. So just to do a quick little
like
recap.
5 years.
We've had a bottle of home distilled.
Hey, that's illegal. It was produced in a legit facility.
Yeah. We're in a homebrew shop. John gets samples sometimes.
Yeah.
And how long have you had this bottle?
I like that your face has not changed at all since she's popped
working.
That cork.
She's working.
I know.
So we've been looking at this bottle and referencing it sneakily.
You know what? It doesn't smell that bad, actually. So about 4 years ago, a gentleman sauntered in here.
Sauntered in.
I mean, look at the his name was
Kenny Weichel.
Weichel, and he dropped off this bottle of.
I think we just outed him.
Hooch. No, come on. He's Brandon, dude.
Kenny's the shit. Yeah. Kenny is great. Kenny was like, "I've got something to say, yep. and it's right here.
It's a beautiful bottle.
Listen to me."
He told me his life story, and then he told me like how he like sourced this bourbon, and then he told me how he was making like all this candy in his basement. He has like making I think maple syrup, and he's making brown sugar and all these different food products, and he's like, "You got to try this. It's going to change your life." And I was like, "I will." And then I put it on a shelf and I forgot about it until earlier today when we were prepping to have one Jackie Zykin in our podcast, and I was like, "You know what needs to happen today? Let's bust this out." And I would like to, for the record, you opened it. We did not force you to drink this.
A lot of black pepper.
It's aged twice, filtered once, everybody. It says so on the label, and it's 80-ish proof.
Yeah, that's what everybody.
It also says 80-ish on the label.
This is not a TTB-approved label, but that's okay. It doesn't have to be.
This is just pre-production.
Kenny, this is to you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, Kenny.
I mean, it kind of just smells boozy.
I want to hear Jackie
walk
us through the process.
It smells like if you soaked like crushed red pepper from like a hometown pizza that's been in the shaker for like 8 months, all dried out. You soak that in water and then put some droplets in there.
That's love language. Smell.
Hometown pizza?
The dried crusty like pepper flakes. Yeah,
you know exactly what I'm talking about too. Yeah, 100%. You know the smell of the pepper flake.
There's like a Parmesan brick sitting next to it.
Yeah,
that exactly. may have at one point been cheese, but is no longer. It's opening my sinuses, honestly.
That's what you want.
Well, it is a micro batch. I just want you to know that.
Oh, it's definitely under 22 barrels. You know.
Oh.
Passes the Jackie test.
Am I the first one who actually tasted it?
But I want to know. It's once at a world famous distillery, but I want to know what world famous distillery it was. And then it sat in the lower, I don't know if you know this or not, but the lower Rickhouse of Weichel Foods. And soon to be famous maple brown sugar cinnamon syrup. I thought it was going to be sweeter than it is, to be honest with you. As the label reads, maple brown sugar cinnamon bourbon. I thought it was going to be a bourbon with sugar and these flavors added into it, but it just proves to be bourbon.
Yeah, I get extremely overtaking like cinnamon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine.
You know, Kenny, you tried.
Yeah. Kenny, keep going.
Yeah, go.
Kenny,
yeah.
Keep going. This is how greatness is achieved.
It's the spirit of innovation.
Over and over.
And thank you very much, Creator of Flavors.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I just want to know, like, what's in the... He's got a pipe on the label, and it looks like he's just, like, posing with a pipe, but, like, it's probably full of like preferred tobacco?
I think it's full of dab, personally.
Dab?
Like,
what is that?
Like, it's like a marijuana, like, resin or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think he's like... Isn't that what it's called? Dabbing?
No, let's get in. What is dab?
It's
no,
like a, dab's it's like, a, it's like a marijuana product. Like, that's dabbing on your haters, I think.
No. Sure.
Dabbing on your haters. Isn't that a marijuana thing? Anyway.
But as you just walked us through kind of your thoughts on what you just tried, most people would be like, you know what? I'm in the whiskey world and like I'm happy with that. But you decided to be like, I can use this superpower for something else. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Eau de Oak.
So I started studying perfumery many years ago as a method to build my sensory bank. There are two very simplistic ways of approaching your palate strength, if you will. There's how many taste buds you're born with, and you have no control over that. And then how much you've been exposed to so that you can build the articulation, if you will. If you've never smelled cinnamon before in your life, you're never going to pick up a glass of whiskey and be like, oh, I smell cinnamon. Like the connection is not made. And so I figured, let me go down this deep dive, sort of understanding all of these different perfume isolates so that I can, let me be very, very frank about this. There's always that person in the room. And I called your ass out on it earlier because I was like, oh, is this what we're getting into? We're just going to start dropping science words and shit. Like, I'm not impressed, but here we go. Keep that. Do not edit that part out.
No.
But nonetheless, there's always a guy or a girl. There's always a human in the back of the room that's like, oh, I'm going to like some diacetyl. And you're like, no one else knows what that means. Shut up. You're ruining the vibe for everybody. Like, stop. Like, we're not here for that
right now.
Green
apple and butter.
Stop. Yeah, sorry. So, my bad. It's fine. You had to. You couldn't even help yourself. See, even now, you can't help yourself. And I call you out on it. And you still go. So anyways, for me, though, it helps to understand what these compounds are, the smell as it relates to the chemical structure so that I know when you combine it with other chemical structures, what's going to happen and what you're going to end up with maybe in certain conditions. So it goes a little bit deeper. I don't know how many barrel selections I did where people walked into the Rick House and they were like, oh, the smell. I wish I could bottle it. I just wish I could wear it. And I'm like, yeah, it smells good. Cool. I know that I go and pick my kid up from school smelling like that smell. And they're probably like, Bennett's mom has like, you know, like, why? Like, I don't understand. She's, I don't know.
They know
they're
really
out. They know she's sad. I don't know what's happening here, but whatever. She smells like whiskey. And so with perfume, you basically have completely neutralized alcohol so that the fragrance oils can shine through. And you build it in a different way where you're basically taking the molecular weight of all these different fragrance compounds and building them heavy to light. And when you experience perfume, you're experiencing them from light to heavy. So citrus notes, floral notes, things like that, that are super volatile and super lightweight, molecularly speaking, are the things that pop up first, and things that are more base notes and middle notes that happen right before that are things that last a little bit longer. And so I wondered if I could build whiskey in the same way that they build perfume, would it make for a different experience? And so I kind of went down this rabbit hole. But then that combined with like all these people that are like, oh, I just wish I could spray it on me. It's like, no one's ever stopped you from dousing yourself in whiskey. Like, you can do that. This is America. Go for it. Yeah. But I was like, you know what? No one's ever made a perfume brand that literally captures the aromatics of bourbon in the first place and then builds off of it. So I launched Eau de Oak, which was basically the smell, the essence of oak, of whiskey, of bourbon specifically. And every single fragrance is based off of a reconstruction of a moment I've had when I was drunk on whiskey.
Hell yeah.
Yes. And so it's like, okay, there was that one night where like there, like I remember smelling cigarettes on my clothes, and then we went to fucking Taco Bell. And so there's a cumin note that comes in here, and there's like all this other shit. It literally all comes together in a moment in a bottle that only I understand, which is kind of fucked up. Because no one else that wears, they're like, oh, it either smells good or it doesn't. I'm like, yeah, but I remember that date. Like,
can you smell
I
the little bit of vomit on my skirt and the...
See, yeah, exactly.
When he said Taco Bell, I was like, oh, okay.
Exactly. So that's basically what's happened with it. And so now, I mean, it's grown organically. It's a labor of love. It's something that I'm up until 4 a.m. doing. But it's just, it's a way for me to do creative expression with whiskey, which I love so much, that doesn't involve being drunk, mm-hmm. which is... nice to find that balance, right? We love what we do and we love our booze and we love all those things. But at the end of the day, we're still humans with this body that has to be taken care of. And so it's nice to appreciate whiskey in a way that's not toxic to you, I guess.
My understanding of the history of distillation, it actually started out like in the early, it was whoever came before the Ottomans. But, you know, in the Arab Revolution, this is when you guys get mad. The people knew how to distill alcohol and stuff like that. But usually it was for more like perfume making was the first industrial application of distillation. And
the Egyptians, do you think those were before the Ottomans?
They didn't distill anything. They didn't distill liquor for the purpose of drinking, like on large scale. The first large scale distillations were for alchemical recreations of the Philosopher's Stone or whatever, but then also for perfume was like
just
one of the
reference
first
Harry Potter.
No, the Maybe. Alchemists. The Alchemists.
Okay. The Alchemist,
anyway, man. So that's super cool. Like you kind of reverse engineer it to go back to what it was like when it originally started. The whole reason, you know, the drunken monkey hypothesis. The only reason that humans have the gene that can let us digest alcohol is because it's a theory. That's a hypothesis.
It's a hypothesis. Yes.
Is because our primate ancestors had an evolutionary advantage to be able to digest alcohol. Because they could eat the rotten fruit off the ground that mm-hmm. the other animals couldn't eat. But then the evaporative nature and how it brings those aromas and stuff with it, and monkeys have real sensitive noses, they could find it. It would waft down the wind. They'd get that little bit of rotten fruit smell in their noses, and then they'd go off and find the rotten fruit pile. So that's one theory about why we have the gene that lets us digest alcohol, because it was a competitive advantage mm-hmm. for the early primate ancestors who like to get fucked up and probably get fucked up and fucked. They're probably like,
that's what I was about to say. And I don't mean to go like in that path, but like it is what it is. So like the more likely they were to locate sources of alcohol, the more likely they were to have promiscuous sex, the more likely they were to have their genes passed on. And then there's
and just
more
to have social
them,
bonding, like alpha males are less likely to kill each other if they're a little tipsy, unless you're Irish like me. But like, yeah, I know. It depends. It depends.
I thought that fueled a lot of confrontation.
Well, I mean, I think drunk monkeys are probably less aggressive than like, because monkeys are pretty aggressive. A lot of monkeys. This podcast has gone totally side
no,
tangent.
No, it's okay.
But,
let's keep going. Yeah. Keep going down the rabbit hole.
I find it very interesting, and I think there's validity to it. And I think that alcohol, in a lot of ways, created human civilization, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeast totally. Domesticated us.
By that. Absolutely.
He's going to bring it on now. He's going to corral it.
Jackie knows.
Back
Jackie
into
knows.
Order.
So we are not monkeys. We do not have large noses that can just pick up on things. So I just want to know, like, in a quick, you know, 60-second summation, like, is there a way to train your palate if you're wanting to?
Yes, there is.
Target aisle candle section.
I'm trying. Yo, that's such a good one. I'm trying to keep it at 60 seconds, but I'm going to fail at that.
That's fine.
So, like, let's just throw that out the window.
Just go for it.
Thank you. So nonetheless, like I said, there's two parts of it. There's how many taste buds you are born with and what your sensitivity is from a physiological standpoint. And then there's your exposure and your experience in life. Mm-hmm. And so these two factors combined are kind of what lay into this whole idea that people really like to tout these days of, like, oh, women have more sensitive palates than men and all these things. Part of that is there's an evolutionary advantage to being able to have more sensitivity to detect what's going to be toxic to you, therefore your fetus, because it's inside of you, and whatever you eat that could kill you could also kill it. So it helps to be able to detect bitter notes and have more taste buds. Boom. His mind just, you're welcome.
I'm blown.
The other part of it is that the domestication of females, if you will, you're exposed to more, whatever, you are exposed to more culinary nuances and more market nuances and things of that sort, your food sources, all of that shit. There you go. I don't know. We can go on a tangent, which I'm not going to go into, about the whole, like, monkeys finding booze in the forest, but whatever. We're just going to stay where we are. It's totally fine.
I love it.
IPLs. Nonetheless, if you want to make yourself more sensitive, or it's not going to make you more sensitive, but it will help you to articulate more. If you really want to wax poetic and impress your friends, you know, at the party, if you expose yourself to more isolates, smell and taste everything that you can that you know is not going to be toxic to you. It's my CYA statement. Mm. But you have to build that bank. And then the best way to do that is to, whenever you taste whiskey or whatever else, don't taste one thing at a time, taste two. So you have compare and contrast going on. That's always very, very beneficial. And you can get these different chemical compounds online. I mean, you can get them through fragrance supplies. You can get them. Essential oils are great, but you're going to be limited to so many different items. Mm. But this is what I like to do when I go and do sensory seminars, is teach people, like, oh, this is what that defect tastes like at this parts per million and this parts per million. Like, let's sniff it out. Let's extract it out. Excuse me. But you have to really, like, force yourself into it first and then find it in a glass of 200 different aromatic compounds, right? We should have done that. We should do that next time.
Next time, yeah.
Do, like, literally, like, a sensory, like, seminar, like, isolates of, like, identifying what's hiding in the glass.
Yeah. Well, I do believe that John...
I'm never invited back again, by the way.
We need a part two for sure.
What's happening?
Well, John has something for us, actually. So,
well, there's, like, a craft exercise. There's, like, arts and crafts hour.
Arts and crafts.
I don't know. It's cool. I don't know. Bottom line is that as you age, your cells regenerate less and less and less for a multitude of reasons we won't get into because we don't have fucking time today, but we can next time. The older you get, the more numb your palate is. Get over it. It's going to be what it is. The more bang you're going to need, the more bold tannin you're going to need to meet the same place. The younger you are, maybe the more offensive those things are because you're super sensitive. So it's the equivalent of having one taste bud that's, like, shouting sweet, or 2,000 taste buds that are shouting sweet, like, really, really loud together, right? It takes less to get the same effect. So the older you get, it's okay if your tastes and your preferences start to shift. Maybe you lean more into black coffee. Maybe you need that big oaky cab. Like, maybe you need the big barrel strength whiskey, whatever. I don't know what the fuck is happening right now, but there's a guy with a Santa Claus hat and a bunch of cups of, like, what I think are oatmeal
don't look,
he says, but something is happening. Bottom line is your palate changes throughout your life, but do your best with it and go and smell and taste everything. Candles, you brought up, are a really great method for this. I do this with my son because children, it's such an amazing thing. They don't have the color with a sensory association like we do as adults. We've been told lemons are yellow and lemons smell like XYZ, right? Bananas are yellow. Pineapples are yellow. Things that smell a certain way are a certain color. Kids don't have that to a certain age. And so you can shove a candle in front of a kid's face and it's blue and they're not automatically going to be like, is it blueberry? Is it cotton? Is it, you know, whatever? They just give you a blanket feedback of, like, this is what it smells like. And you need that to be able to sort of uncover all the little nuances in it without that. I hate red velvet cake. It really fucks me up. I'm not going to lie. Like, it really messes with me. Like, Why does it taste like chocolate?
It's not even chocolate.
It's red.
It should be raspberry. I don't even know why it's red. Right?
Mm-hmm. It's also not made out of velvet.
Does anyone know the history of red velvet cake?
Well, they originally called it red bundt cake, but then these like marketing guys got in here.
Are you being serious right now too?
I was going to make fun of cold IPAs again with like the whole, it's like rebranding for rebranding's sake.
No,
so anyway, by the way, okay. Yeah, this is actually historically, it was in the Ottoman Empire.
Oh my God.
They used to make these cakes.
At least John is self-aware.
I always put them on a velvet cloth. And then one day, like Abdul Jihad Sheikh III was like rebranding. So, yeah,
John, you have a game for us, just a quick game.
Yeah,
real fast, be quick.
So,
oh my God, I'm so scared. Are you trying to fuck with me right now?
No. Well, maybe you can decide that. We'll give you this shtick. So, as you say, it's fun to go through the world and smell and taste all these different things. Mm-hmm. We would love to put your nose to the test on a few items that we selected. That are kind of adjacent to the spirits and alcohol world.
Okay.
You can go in blind if you'd like. There is an optional blindfold if you want, but that's optional. Or if you just promise to keep your eyes closed, we can go that way too.
You don't want to put the Santa hat over what? Your eyes.
How many samples are... This is terrifying.
We have like four or five different things.
If I get them all wrong...
Well, I think we've...
That doesn't go well for me, does it?
We planned it in such a way that you don't have that much to lose with the stuff we're going to ask you to smell.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Blindfold me up. Like, let's all do... Right. Yeah, no, totally... Wait, why is there a Santa hat?
Well, you can do this maneuver, or you could just have the Santa hat and pull it over your eyes. But you have headphones on, so this might be the way to go.
Okay, we're using a questionable...
Where did he go, by the way? He just disappeared.
Taking a leak, I think.
Oh, okay. Well,
which is an option if you need to go. We can pause.
This. No. There's going to be enough editing. David,
do you want to play?
I assure you.
I always want to play.
Satterley and Zycan, smell off.
Okay.
Sure. Do you want to keep your eyes closed on a swear, or do you want to cover your eyes with the Santa hat?
No, yeah, I'm wearing a bike.
Or he has to wear the horse head backwards.
The horse head. Yeah, that's what we should have done. All right.
Okay. All right. Wow.
You going Santa hat?
We are doing this.
Just promise me you're not giving me anything that's going to make me pass out, black out, fall asleep, whatever. It's not going to get weird.
Nothing that would be brought on a Bumble date.
Oh my God.
Dude, you don't even know. Like, it's scary out there. Watch out. Wait, whoa. That was the microphone. Wait. What am I supposed to be? I have cups of things I'm supposed to be spelling.
Yeah, you're right. We will bring the things to you.
Receiving position.
You are good. I'm waiting for Saturday.
Saturday has a backwards horse head.
You have to leave your nose out.
Yeah.
Okay.
He just put it over his head. He's gonna pass out because he can't breathe.
All right. So number one. When you're ready, David. Hands in.
Stop! It really is backwards.
You're not gonna. You're only.
Oh, there's a hole.
David, what does this smell like? A horse mask. David, what does this one smell like? A horse mask.
Hold on. Hold on. Just for me. Just real quick.
Photo. Yep. Sally. Video. Yeah.
This is how horses are born.
Yeah. All right, David. Open up the nose hole again.
And for those of you just listening, we encourage you to go subscribe to our YouTube channel, so you can see this. And we also have their video available on Patreon.
Okay.
All right.
Hold on. Let me get another sip of my IPA.
Yeah. Get yourself ready.
IPA.
All right. India Pale Ale Lager. That's what it's called.
Let's bring it back.
All right. You guys ready to smell some stuff?
I think so. I don't know. Shit. I'm kind of scared.
This is gonna be great. All right.
It's going to be fun.
Just tell
Thank
me when
you
to
for
open my
me
hole.
Know this was what I was getting into.
Yep.
All right. Before hands in the receiving position.
Okay. Yep.
This one. Starting off easy. Just smell
smelling,
it and let us know
I'm
what
just
you
smelling
think.
Smelling this?
Yep. Just let us know what you think.
Oh, okay.
A lot of horse.
What do you smell?
A lot of horse.
I smell grain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. I don't smell anything wrong with it, though.
No. Well, the question is what latitude and longitude was it grown?
Gosh.
Oh. No, I'm just kidding. Barley. Yeah, you got it. It's I think it's American. Actually, I think it's Vienna malt. Because that's
eat
what
this?
I grabbed. Yeah, sure. I just milled it a half an hour ago or whenever
of
you got here.
Of course you did. Yeah, you did.
Freshly milled.
Good Lord.
All right, David, did you pick up on that?
I guess it was malt.
I feel like I'm not being told what the rules are. You asked me to identify the grain, the country of origin.
No. Just tell
us
what you smell.
What's wrong with it? How long ago it was harvested? Like,
nope.
What's
just
the...
what you smell? Just your impressions.
Okay.
Yeah, and just so I'm going to touch your nose,
no.
Just so you don't look like you've been doing coke.
Okay. you had a little bit of barley dust.
I got weird. I was like, wait a minute. I'm going to touch your nose.
You had a little coke line. Sorry,
you can't do that.
All right, number two.
It's crayon apple.
Coming in,
it's
just
fine.
Tell us what you smell.
Two. Uh huh.
Okay. All right, the sample number two.
Dank.
Yeah, it's a little danky.
A lemongrass.
Yeah.
It is lemony. Some lemony, hoppity, hippity hoppity.
Are we supposed to guess which kind of hops they are?
Oh, so you think it's hops?
Is that the game?
Yeah, well, just tell us what you smell.
What the fuck is the game?
If you want to guess, you can guess, but just kind of see what you're smelling. Just let us know what you think it smells like, and then we'll discuss afterwards.
A little pineapple, lemon.
Well, I think you guys have kind of both got the nail on the head.
Yeah, but there's like a pineapple note to it of like if you left like canned pineapple sitting out, it's not like a super fresh cut pineapple. It's like an, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know that like.
Well, you have
kind of like dull pineapple juice, pineapple smell. Not
that's
like
exactly
fresh
how
cut
I always
pineapple.
Describe those hops. Those
like
are Sultana.
In a can, you know what I mean?
I was gonna guess Sultana.
Those are Sultana,
Sultana
hops.
Yep. Like what's in that IPL
that's
that we just drank.
IPAL.
And whenever I describe those to people, I just say, just imagine opening up a can of like canned pineapple.
That's
basically
what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like kind of artificial, but it's kind of concentrated and kind of overly sweet pineapple. So nailed it.
All right, sample number three. Coming
all right.
Up.
Oh God. No.
It smells like microphone.
Oh, God.
Number three.
Can this be drink?
Is this cheese?
No, this is yeast as fuck, man. What the hell?
This is
like a sourdough starter in your fridge.
Yeah.
Based on pineapple.
You're on the right track, and I don't really know if there's much more information. David, you get anything that kind of...
This is Saccharomyces cerevisiae. What is this?
Yes!
No!
It is a Liquor Quick 48-hour turbo yeast for the aficionado over here.
It smells like cheese.
Yeah, that's probably what our friend Kenny was using. Assuming he actually did any distillation, that might just be a blend.
Yeah. And we have time for one more sample.
Oh, we have a couple.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Two more.
All right, two
this
more.
This is samples. Fun. Keep going. Just find more samples. Let's just keep going. But all edit right. It out to only the ones I got right.
Okay.
What are you guys getting here?
Cream corn.
Wow, that was fast.
It is cream corn.
That was fast, David. So a lot of times, especially in like lager beers, you'll get an off flavor called diacetyl.
Science words.
Which a lot of times is referred to as that old creamed corn smell. So good job that your sensory training is paying off. How's that creamed corn smell, Jackie?
But like I always register diacetyl as being like movie theater like grease, like the butter that's not really butter. Mm. I don't think of it as having that like fresh, like not that now that I see the cup, there's no freshness to this whatsoever.
All right, I got two more quick ones for you guys.
Oh, sorry.
You're fine.
Let me get back in the game here.
Mr. Sats.
I was told that was the last.
I also thought
Mike Muller lied. I got this and then one more.
Hell,
David's having trouble.
Nope, I know that. Don't fucking say a word until I get this.
Saturday,
okay?
Don't say anything. Let Jackie get this. She's got this.
I know this. Jesus Christ! I hate you for making me do this. It's like a wasted byproduct of some sort of fucking agricultural thing that you usually eat. Is that weird to say that?
No, you're not all that
probably
wrong.
Probably pretty accurate, actually.
You want a clue?
Yeah.
We did creamed corn as an off flavor. This is something that could be picked
this is
up
banana.
As banana. Yeah, you got it.
This is fucking
you got
banana.
It. Yep.
But it's like an underripe peel. Fucking banana.
It's super underripe. I tried to find a ripe one, but Kroger like only has green bananas. But bananas are a byproduct of agricultural bullshit because they're not real.
Correct.
Bananas are fake as
bananas
shit.
Bananas are not real.
They're all genetic clones of each other. Yeah. Well, it's not naturally. It's a GMO.
Well, you see the Banana Republic back in the 19th.
Yeah.
Before the Ottoman Empire.
The Assyrians.
Before the Ottoman Empire.
Well, that's South America, so it could be.
All right, officially, we have the last one coming up.
Okay. Last one.
Oh, God.
Ooh, it shakes.
Jesus Christ. No.
Jackie put her nose in there really deep and did not like
alcohol.
It.
Tell us what you smell. It might just smell like alcohol.
It does just smell like alcohol.
It's not rubbing alcohol, but
it's not rubbing alcohol, but it's like, it's like that Kenny alcohol.
It's like that
dying
alcohol.
Fumes in this horse.
No,
mask.
There's, but okay, I'm curious to know what.
I've
been so strong. But there is an acetone note to it. I will give it that, though, at least. Anyone else getting acetone?
Just smells like what it is. During the COVID crisis, you know, it was hard to get sanitizing solutions. So I invested in a giant handle of Everclear.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but well, it's also blended with Sour Patch Kids. So it's a little bit of malic acid.
It's probably just Everclear.
Dissolved into Sour Patch Kids.
Give me another. This is fun. Do you have any more?
We have one more.
Yes. Oh my God, I'm excited.
Give me 2 seconds on this one.
Okay. So wait, that was the shaking, was the Sour Patch Kids?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Sour Patch Kids in
there. That's a good sample right there. That's enough.
God, I'm scared. Wait, that's enough.
David, you want to play this one too?
This is Kenny's maple bourbon cinnamon homemade liquor that has been filtered never but aged twice.
You are very close.
No, it's not. It's Underberg.
Yeah, it's Underberg.
Hey!
Shout outs to Kenny on that one. Yeah. Thank you for playing our game. And thank you for smelling this creamed corn. And these are the two that I was like kind of guilty about. I kind of thought that might be a little bit rude.
No, like this is so good. Yeah. This is,
and also, you know, snacks are included in our, whenever you're a guest on the podcast, you always get a little something to take home. So if you want the rest of that can of creamed corn, that is all yours.
I'll give you $5 to eat the... I'm going to make a concoction and I'll give you five. Nope.
Just pour the Sour Patch Kids into the creamed corn and down it.
Sensitive nostrils.
Oh, John just ate it. No. John just ate the creamed corn. All right. Well, I think we all need a little palate cleanser now.
The best part about having this horse mask on is that I saw none of that.
It. Yeah.
You didn't finish it,
John.
Hold on, John. Are we friends?
Yeah, we're friends.
We're starting the IPL movement. We're cream corn. Yeah.
Cream corn comrades.
It's not that bad. It's really cold and like.
And Jackie's now eating the cream corn too.
It's kind of good. Give me the other
one. Scott, she wants seconds.
This is getting weird.
Unhinged.
Show me what it's like to take off your mask.
Yeah, take off your mask now, David. You're good. And and now we're eating Everclear gummies. Actually, I'll take one of those too. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Should I go for the blue or the yellow?
This tastes like Everclear. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Actually, I'm gonna get the green one.
Mm. Hey, you know what? Oh man.
Wow, that's gross.
That
all right. Okay. Well, I feel like we all.
No one cared before they put on the mask.
Good job, guys. You guys knocked that out of the park.
That was.
Did we though?
Yeah, you did. Who's going to guess cream corn immediately? Well, didn't you do the cream
David
corn?
David did.
David's a cream corn.
I didn't do shit.
You should start a creamed corn barreling program.
Mm, yeah.
No.
Well, as awful and fun as that was, I do want to talk a little bit about a gift that you brought us to try.
I brought you a couple of gifts.
Yeah.
So you've got a pour of Series 1 and Series 2 from Hidden Barn. Series 1 is all coming out of the Neely Distillery. It's all double pot stilled. It's coming off the still at 125, going into a barrel at 105 to 110, not filtered. That's about it. That one, that's 23A. That's 22 barrels. It's the biggest batch I've ever done.
Wow.
Yeah. MB Roland's a little bit of a different story. So this is a 70-20-10 with rye as a flavor grain on that one. This one is a high rye. So there's 35% rye coming out of that one. This is a 10-barrel batch. MB Roland, if you're not familiar, on occasion does do batches of this dark fire corn, or what they call their dark fire product. So they do a smoked corn. So there's a little bit of, I hate using the word contamination because everyone's like, contamination, it's bad. No, like there's a little bit of crossover and a little bleed through of the smokiness in the grain. And that definitely comes through at the very, very bottom of the palate on this one. So I love this particular one. It's delicious. And I'm not a rye person.
Yeah,
at
I was
all.
Gonna go in for that.
I love rye.
You love rye?
I also love rye. Yeah.
So
they're my
just
favorites.
To be clear, it is bourbon. It just has a high rye concentration in it. Mm-hmm.
I do like but that you told us the story delicious. About the black barn in ooh. On the label.
Oh yeah.
There's the little denotation of the
there
black
it
barn.
Is.
That's super cute.
That's really good.
Aww.
I would have never picked that up, you know? Mm. The nuance.
Marketing.
We are paying attention.
Marketing.
Can I drink my Underberg?
Please. Of course.
Is this the Berg break?
This is the Berg break. Yes.
Okay.
Cheers to Bergs.
Am I the only one that got it?
I have the other half of yours.
Cheers.
I had the little bottle, so I knew what it was.
Yes. Thank you, Underberg, for sponsoring this podcast.
<Thank you.
laughs> It's really good. It's going to help you digest the green corn.
There's a lot that just happened, and we could all use a little bit of a Berg break to help rein everything in.
I do love it. It's just intense.
Yes.
Compared to the
absolutely.
Corn.
I've got a little bit of batch... Series 2.
Right? Yeah, this smells really good. The rye jumps out the nose to me first. It's hot. What did you say the proof was on it?
So MB Roland does things a little bit differently down there. They don't hit it with dilution at all in the process. It comes off the still at 110 and goes straight into the barrel. And then whatever it ends up at, which this one is 112, that's what goes into the bottle. Hell so we do like a fine mesh sieve to get the char chunks out for the most part, but none of the Hidden Barn products have any filtration on them whatsoever.
That's great. Oh, it smells much smoother. It tastes much smoother than it smells too. I get a lot of booze in the nose, but it's very smooth.
There's a lot of caramel in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And I get the rye on like my lips, which is where I always taste that kind of rye note or whatever. And the tip of my tongue as well. Sour Patch Kid might be messing up my palate a little bit, and the Everclear in there
and,
too,
and the cream corn.
Yeah,
and,
you know, who knew?
Yeah, everything there. So as we're sipping on this, we also asked you to bring our guests to bring another item or story or something that's not related to beverage.
I brought all the fragrances, the Eau de Oak fragrances, but like they're in my bag over there, which I can go get. Like, homie, will you grab that bag? So you can smell them. I don't know.
Should we get the horse head back out for fine. David when he smells these?
Yeah, right.
You gotta smell through the back of the horse head hole. Like, are you serious? That's the funniest thing. Like, your beard was showing up through it. I'll show you the video. It's so great.
Can't wait to see the video.
So I would have brought actual product, but I also didn't.
Did you bring a Home Depot bucket?
Okay. No, but like my bag is orange. Does that count?
Yes,
like,
yeah, it does. Absolutely.
One I didn't have liquid for in these bottles I had in my pocket anyways. So this is Blue Jay. This is the number one seller, actually.
Okay, nice.
And so there, open that bad boy up.
It's super cute.
Oh, it's called a roadie. Uh-huh. Of course, it should be. It's a roadie. Right? So I do sell them in roadie packs of like the smaller sizes. But like I said, they're all inspired by moments that I was drunk on whiskey, captured into smell form. Some of them are more feminine. Some of them are more masculine. But
we subjected you to that. I wonder if we should smell them and try to guess the moment.
I love this. Okay, I'm going to do a dipstick on them so you're not just smelling the bottle then. Is that okay?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Oh, this one will be easy. Or not. I don't know, man. You gave me cream canned corn, so I don't know.
And Everclear.
It's going to, if you put it on you, it's going to smell differently. So smell it off the...
Okay.
Smell it off the stick. This is great.
Okay.
Guess the moment. No, just...
All right, so...
Okay. What do you get in that moment?
I mean, it's floral to me. So maybe something outdoors, maybe like going to a botanical garden. Mm. Drunk, obviously. Maybe like an outdoor bourbon festival. Maybe like a concert somewhere. I'm trying. I have a terrible like palate as well because I'll get floral, but then there's not much more that I'm good enough at identifying.
All right.
There's something else I'm picking up, though.
It's giving spring in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, well, look at you.
Smells like crystals.
A bachelor party for your last girlfriend that's not yet married. Everyone else is married.
You're doing good. You're doing great.
And she's just like, yeah, we're gonna go out and do this right. And I'm on board.
I'm getting like... You're in the school parking lot in your car eating leftover El Nepal.
Oddly specific. I love that.
You're drunk.
This is not a good idea. We gotta not do this. No, it's okay. So that first one that you had was mint julep.
Okay.
So go back to it. You'll find the mint.
Yeah, okay. Oh, the bourbon and the mint coming through. Mint. Yep. Oh, okay. Yes, I make that connection immediately.
It's totally different than analyzing things that you're about to drink where you're just relying on your nose. Mm-hmm. It's very, very different. But okay. No, I'm just curious. Like, just take it and pass it around.
This one's much different.
Okay.
More of like, maybe you guys should smell it before I give all my opinions.
Just give me a moment. Yeah. Smell it and where does it take you? What do you got? Where are you at?
I think I'm at a place for sure.
See, the mint of the last one made me think a little bit more.
You got to let go of it. Yeah. It's not here anymore. Okay. It's gone.
I got a strong impression off that one.
Yeah.
Of a little bit of like, it's like that like cool, it's like a...
it's your ecstasy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like an old head shop, patchouli, like old books, like something is made out of like
old like upholstery
old book.
Yeah, like leather-bound books or something. That's what I'm getting.
I like that we're just offending Jackie on every single
You're not at all. Because I fully understand that like the moment that I had that went into this liquid is no one else's.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
So everyone's going to have their own like association.
Well, that's what's fun about it too. Is yeah, you get to exactly. kind of, yeah, you get to play a part of the story.
But David? I know which one is going to come next now that you started this whole like headshot moment. But
I like when you like turned it into a narrative, like your best friend.
No,
just,
I love it. No, this makes more exactly sense. Yeah, what yeah. it is. So the one you just smelled was the Walk of Shame.
Okay. I love it.
And it is meant to smell like the way your perfume smells the next day after you've like, you hate yourself for the cigarettes you smoked the night before. You feel like absolute shit. You keep wondering like, why the hell does this keep happening to me? I don't know.
Where did I park? Like, where's my car?
Why am I in the Church of Scientology? So,
why do I have leftover?
Right. Like, where is my credit card right now? Like, I guess I got to go back to Patrick's and get it. Like, they know me by name. Like, it is what, that's exactly.
We did karaoke.
Right. Exactly. Like, I my total enough. Eclipse of the heart. There, that's all I remember.
There's a shower curtain involved because it's Patrick's. It sucks.
We should go there.
Yeah, let's go.
Patrick's 2.0.
I don't know what I'm
Patchouli
getting out of that
Patchouli is one.
One
of the main notes in this one. That okay. That's why I grabbed this one next, because okay. you were kind of going down that.
This is basement vibes. Like that 70s.
Basement vibes. Yeah,
like that 70s like show.
Yeah.
Like smoking cigarettes in the basement.
Marijuana
in high
cigarettes, probably.
Marijuana cigarettes, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, this one's fun.
Vinyl records.
It smells of age.
Okay.
Yeah. Smells of age.
Okay. Of age.
Would you use the word
what
like,
do you
what does that mean?
What like, does that mean?
Musty.
Like,
in a good way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like,
okay,
it,
okay,
something
okay,
has
okay,
been
okay.
sitting for
man
a little while.
Man musk. Yeah.
Okay. That one is Feral Gent.
Yeah.
Hey. That was inspired off of a really, I don't want to call it a bad hinge date. It was a great hinge date, but like, I'm just going to leave it at that. Whatever.
There we go.
He was a sweetheart. Okay, get into this.
Okay, again,
tell me
different.
The person that smells like this. Describe the, it's a feminine one, so describe the woman that smells like this perfume. Let's go with
careful
that.
Careful with
are
this.
You a Harry Potter person?
Whatever.
I'll just say, I can this say is like, not the one for you, John.
Dolores Umbridge. Like, it's an okay, older lady.
Older, okay, an older woman.
Like roses is kind of what I'm getting. Okay. Like, what's that? It's not, what's that thing called? Not patchouli, potpourri. Like, not in that way, but it's like that rose hip, rose heart, rose petal okay. kind of vibe with like a little bit of that like kind of like spicy thing going on, like not nutmeg, like something like in the anise yeah. world or like nutmeg or something. I don't know. That's kind of what I get. Glinda.
David?
It smells the color pink. I'm going with rose.
Okay. The color like, pink. Yeah, it smells like the color pink.
I'm gonna go with like she's a hairdresser. Like
there you
this
go.
Is like
oh,
shampoo.
There you go. There you go. Nice. That's excellent.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how old is she? This is important.
I mean, I'm thinking she's like
late 30s.
She's older.
To 50s.
She's pushing 50, but she can pull off like 42.
Yeah, she's cool.
On
right?
Hinge,
like she's
in
cool.
her Hinge profile.
Yeah. She's cool and she's a hairdresser and like her hands are all over you because it's not Hinge. You're
is
getting
it just the shampoo?
Again, oddly personal more.
Is there something more here? I don't know.
The
maybe.
Way she rubs my scalp.
That's not, yeah, it's a scalp massage.
I will say this is a super fun exercise because
no,
we taste
great.
Things
fun.
A lot and you
yeah.
think about what you taste, sorry, but you know, it's great to bring that other, especially when there's nothing to taste afterwards. I mean, yeah. we could taste it, but.
No, don't.
Yeah.
That's not good for you.
Yeah. But it's fun to just rely on your nose too because that trains you in a whole different way. We talk about palate building all the time. But sometimes you don't think about just stopping with a smell.
It's the old John Mulaney joke. He's is this perfume or whiskey? And he drinks the entire thing and he puts it down and says, it's perfume.
I like it. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, the one you just smelled was called Dice.
Okay.
It is, I call it dark feminine, if you will. It's a woman who's a little bit older who definitely dates younger, and you always know which wine glass is hers because it needs a refill and there's fucking lipstick on it. She owns something leopard somewhere in her fucking closet.
Hell yeah.
Like,
hell
yes,
yeah. Okay.
That's Dice.
I love it.
Okay.
Was Dice a hairdresser?
Yeah.
No, Dice was okay. me. I was like after this like younger dude for a while, and like we actually were playing illegal gambling of dice games behind Patrick's of all places.
Patrick's.
On flattened cardboard boxes, and it reminds me of that night. So all that, they all have the backstory on the package. that explains kind of the moment in a very weird way. But okay, so it's a little bit different with perfume because you're going to go into it thinking with the same mindset that you go into analyze beer or spirits or whatever. Break it into categories first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Is it masculine? Is it feminine? For what you register as masculine or feminine.
That one to me is a little bit more masculine.
I would agree.
It's almost kind of like, I get like a little bit of like
exciting.
Meaty. Like
meaty.
Not meaty, but like
barnyard.
A little bit more barnyard. Like there's a little iron in there somewhere. I don't know. That's just what
this
I get.
This is so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is fun.
I we call should, this one feminine, but a younger feminine and a more like Ace
Hardware.
Not Ace Hardware. Let me say the most like nonsensical thing of all time. Like, oh yeah, it's feminine, but it's like asexual feminine, which makes no sense whatsoever. It's kind of like an IPL.
I get
it. It's great. But no, this is Sun, Moon, Venus. This is inspired after yet another dating app date of a guy's whitewater rafter.
Okay.
It's great.
You'll meet on CoStar.
Mm-hmm, great. No, but I am on CoStar. Follow me.
I don't even know what that is.
You know what CoStar is?
No, I'm old. I don't know what these things are.
You need to get on it so we can look up your shit while we're on this show right now. Oh, it's important.
All of this is going far over my head.
No, I'm calling my mom.
This one, you might understand the backstory of this one, but I don't know that it smells like the backstory, but the smell of it reminds me of the backstory.
Me? You're talking to me? Matter.
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Uh-oh.
Because I don't know them well enough. Okay, but give it a category. Masculine, feminine, right? Start there.
I can honestly see this one going either way.
They all kind of go either way, which is the beauty of them. Like a little,
like shaving cream, like clean linen kind of thing.
Clean, like freshly showered, yeah. Like a hotel room shower.
Yeah. Like sheets, laundry kind of thing.
Huh, who knew? Fuck. Okay.
I don't know.
No, you're spot on.
Yeah, let's try our sheets. Often.
Okay.
Which is honestly one of my favorite smells. I love like fresh laundry. It's a nice, what is this?
It's linens.
When you go, and you like, just have a stick and it's totally blind. It's so hard.
Linen,
like,
but
like
also,
create a narrative around it.
Linen, but also cotton candy.
Oh, yeah. There is some like sugar sweetness in there too. I get that.
Okay.
As far as an experience goes, I this is lost on me.
For real cotton candy, like carnival vibe, we should put a little bit of the creamed corn on there too. And then like, call it like state fair.
Get weird really quick. I love it.
Yeah.
That one is called Hiker Trash. And so that is all about celebrating the moment after you've literally been living out of either the back of a car or a tent for an entire week and you
stay
finally
in a hotel
take
room.
A shower. You stay in a hotel room and you take a shower and you're like, oh, I'm a human being again. Like that moment, that's what Hiker Trash was all about.
It's like the best moment of your life to sleep in a clean bed, like for after sure. You're clean and you like have actual food and you have like beer and like, yeah. Maybe there's a pizza involved at some point.
You order like one of everything on the Indian restaurant down the street's takeout menu and like you just get back to life. Yeah.
Watch shitty TV and sleep for like 10 hours.
Oh, man.
Usually South Park because it's always on.
This will be our last one. Huh, he says. Huh. I love the
home
response.
Masculine
or feminine?
I have a funny
masculine
one for this, so
feminine.
I'm gonna save my judgment.
Oh, you're gonna hold it?
Yeah.
Okay. He's holding out. That's fine.
Because that to me triggers something very specific that I'm not proud of.
Uh oh.
It is something very specific.
Is it when you touch Jackie's nose?
I'm gonna touch your nose.
It's a little intimate. It's a little cocainey.
It brings me back to the time I wore the horse mask. But there, I'm going to say masculine and I get like tobacco on it.
Okay.
I get like a fresh pack of Marlboro Reds.
Hmm.
Ooh, we went Reds. You didn't go to American Spirit Yellows. Interesting. Ooh, wait. Are you questioning it now?
No, those take forever.
I know. That's why I like them so much.
See, this is the problem with going last because like I'm trying not to be influenced by what you say.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We've ruined it for you.
I mean, because I get some wacky tobacco on this one.
Yeah, that
See, I was getting Jell-O shots. That's what it did for me. Jell-O shots.
Oh my God, you guys are killing me. We should do this all the time. This is so good.
Yeah, we'll all be on
my
your
poor
smelling
life
panel.
Choices all in one strip.
Jell-O
insane.
Shots and Marlboro Reds. Like that to me completed the picture.
I'm getting high in a distillery gift shop.
That's great.
Oh my God, that's so awesome.
Denver Airport.
That's awesome. Okay, so what you're calling high and resinous and piney, I'm assuming, is this holiday note in my mind anyways, this Christmas tree note, more so than a marijuana note, if you will. But that is Love and Whiskey, and it is based off of a torrid affair over the holiday season with a man who only wears flannel shirts. So if you invited the brawny man home to Christmas with your family, that's what that one smells like.
Was he wearing anything that looks like this? Because if so, back out. There but might be like a...
I love that.
There might be other questions.
Just in case you were confused.
Just in case you forgot. It's from a few years ago.
Oh my God, I need this. I don't know if
this is a good moment.
But... we got this. So yeah, they're all based off experiences. And if you could just sit there and like capture little different nuances of moments into one scent.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So what is this, what is this experience giving to you right now?
Like, it's if
you
a had creative a, outlet.
If you had to bottle this.
Oh, this moment right now?
Yeah, if you had to bottle this moment in time. Should I pull the samples back out?
I'll just call it the podcast.
Do you want to smell the horse mask?
Okay. Tonight's experience is going to smell like, obviously, Kenny Weichel. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. His name is Weichel. Kenny Weichel. So it's going to have some maple, some brown sugar, and cinnamon notes to it.
Yep. It's been aged twice, filtered once. Is that right?
Yeah. There's definitely going to be some cream corn. There's going to be every element of this blind smell tasting, though.
Okay.
Tasting by choice moment that we had together because you didn't make me eat it, but I did.
We chose to.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But also remnants of, you know, this like very effervescent, bright and bubbly Prosecco that I had at Red Hog before I came here.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And I don't know, maybe a little bit of every single fragrance that we just smelled all mixed together. Like the suicide that you get at Taco Bell where you hit the cup
and
on
you
the
put it, hell yeah. And you put it in the Home Depot bucket to mix it all together.
And you let it age in a Home Depot bucket.
And you better put an IPL bucket in there too.
No, with the horse mask immersed in the bucket with the hairs and all the things. It's a special release. Look for it soon. It's coming out.
I can't wait to have that. Jackie, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We really appreciate your time.
This is freaking awesome. This is great.
Do you have anything that you'd like to plug? What's coming up that you want people to know about?
I don't know. Keep an eye on Hidden Barn because every batch is different and there's going to be all kinds of fun stuff coming out. Odo Oak, take it or leave it. It's out there. Do whatever. Yeah, you took it. Mm-hmm. You took the whole thing. It's great. It's fun. I don't know. It's a fun little creative outlet. Stick. Yeah, I don't know. Outside of that, though, definitely keep an eye out for Mile Wide because they have the Hidden Barn Madeira casks that they are aging beer in. I think by the end of summer is the timeline on that one, just in time to release the next lot of Madeira finished Hidden Barn. So there will be a shot in a beer kind of situation going on with that.
That sounds
fun. Indeed.
Love it.
So yeah,
John, what do you got? John, what do you got?
I'm going to shout out a book called The Drunken Monkey. You can buy it on Amazon.com or Kindle. I think it's like $11 on Kindle, and you can learn all about the Drunken Monkey hypothesis.
David?
I'm going to shout out Tried and True Drunkwood. Wearing this brand new hat that they got made a couple weeks ago, but also a good connect for Live Edge Hardwood that might become a new coffee table.
And these are made out of Drunkwood scraps.
Yep.
Our LATO winners.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to give two quick things, one serious, one just fun. But, you know, the city of Louisville experienced something awful this week. And tonight we're all having fun. And this has been good. This is building community. And we fucking love this community. So just when you get a chance, just tell somebody you love them and just thank them for being part of your community.
Yep.
Louisville shouldn't have to go through that ever again. On a more serious note, shout out Garage Beer. We love you, Braxton.
More serious?
Yeah, no, really. Yeah. You guys on all a less serious this. Note. Can you give me a background on this? Because this is the first time I'm seeing it as a non-beer usual
I think we'll
drinker.
Have them on the pod in a few weeks, so we'll get the full story. But Braxton Brewing up in Northern Kentucky, Newport, I think is where they started.
Covington.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay.
Little microbrewery that's grown tremendously over the past 6 years?
No.
5 years?
Seven, eight. Yeah,
okay, so longer than that. Yeah. Makes fantastic stuff, and you might be a better suited to tell the rest of the story, but they kind of launched this as a product inside of their line. It's a little bit separate from the rest of their taproom
offerings. Yeah, they're going for the House of Brands mentality here, so they're separating themselves from the Braxton Brewery label, which they have a bunch of good shit, and they also have like the Braxton Labs labels and everything, but then like Garage Beer, they understand like just light American lager. That's what some people want. So they are not shying away from the idea that, hey, this is garage beer, 95 calories, 4%. You can drink a 15 pack in your garage if you want.
It's responsibly.
Gonna be responsibly.
Yeah.
I can attest to that. And we can also attest to that at our meetings. That's, yeah. So, I drank their lime version yesterday while I was chopping wood and pulling my back. So the lime version is very good, too.
And because John said the lime version is very good, too, that's the show, everybody. Thank you so much. Cheers.
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 I need a bird.
Hell yeah.
We didn't do a final burg.
We can do it right now.
This is the after credits burg.